Blog Talk Radio.
Crappy Tires Live. What? Really? Already? What's up, guys? It's Al Crappy here. It's Caleb. And we're rocking it. It's Saturday. It's 3:30 p.m. I'm just checking out the chat. I see we have a few chatters here already. It's a little early in the day, and I know that a lot of people wouldn't be able to make it, but, you know, I wanted to do it at a time when a lot of people could be here. So I see we got a couple of guests in the chat room. If you're a guest and you want to chat with us, just go to the top and create a little BTR account. You can be crappy, whatever you want, or you can be a regular name, whatever you want. And you can join the chat. You can chat with everybody in there. Big shout out to Mary Mad, Motormouth News, and Nexus Flame, who are in the chat room, you know, kicking things off. And then all of the tweeters, Motormouth News, Awesome _ Hubris, Lulz Ghost, IP2K, Neon Lulz, Kristen Haynes, Desyncify, CP _Non, Eyes MC Squared, and everybody that's tweeting me over on Twitter. I appreciate it, guys, and I appreciate you coming to the show today. We're going to have a good time. But before we get into the show, I'm going to play a little song. Here we go. Here we go, folks. We're going to play a little song.
They call themselves Anonymous. They are hackers on steroids.
Police say they have arrested three suspected hackers believed to be part of an international network.
A group calling themselves Anonymous has vowed to destroy the Church of Scientology.
Anonymous, the group responsible for Operation Payback, which temporarily crippled the websites of MasterCard, Visa, and PayPal.
We are Legion.
We are Anonymous.
Distributed denialist service to rob the stack or drag when dials attack. The truth without a head, get scared and shit, they slack you. What we lack, the sense of compassion, a justice must be swift. Al Turner hurt in the pockets of white supremacists. These nemesis is never this vicious. We told a net for missions. Evil's your position. Your file's gonna cover missing. What if we'll stay distant by shivering and speaking out of fear? So consciousness, our warriors are virtual bombardiers. We don't forgive, we don't forget. Expect us wars and no one to protect us. Come together as a legion, internet, unite, connect us. We will make our presence known. We got folks on the megaphones. FQL inject intravenously like it's prednisone. Rebelling on a larger scale, we join the king to slay the whale. We hip till they slither and swing in them lizards by their tail. We check their mail, defacing professional looking webpage. When I rhyme, I wake the sheeple's catatonic vestige. Spelling the message, encapsulated in the rap track. Black fascist, logic, chronology, target back ass, but a back. And I'm the type of person never hijack. Destruction of Chris Falk camp, or the way to that's at. We vigilant, the vigilante, higher stake enough to anti-cross site script. And Felicia Palmer with bunch of panties, epilepsy foundation, far from invasion. Turks and Brazilians, Tunisians, even Malaysians.
Gorka website, we pulled that just to see, have a look about what's going on. It talks about the power people now have on the internet if they want to do this.
Technically speaking, they are heroes because they can solve everything. They are up all over the security systems.
Train event, we rage and give a fuck about a cussing club McKay hatch. Profanity I spew it for the fucking loving, cause I can. And who the hell is you to try to change a man? Operation Payback,
radical revenge,
intelligent Israelis with viruses known as Stuxnet, programming logic controllers.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Crappy here, and we're back. Here we go.
Crappy time.
What is this?
Oh, yeah.
No. Really?
Crappy tire.
Now. Back. Crappy tires.
It's Caleb here, Crappy Sires, taking you from the tweets to the chat to the IRC, the two-hour live program here. Give me a call if you want to talk to me, 858-769-3318. Get on the line and talk to me, 858-769-3318. And the chat room is now filling up. Vince in the Bay has arrived. Stop hating in the Bay. I see you, but so anyway, Vince in the Bay has arrived, and flyover territory, and XNN Medics is here, and hello to you all that are joining us and all of the guests that are joining us right now on the show. I appreciate it, and we're going to have a good time here talking about Op, Bart, Urge, Anonymous, and we're also going to go over No Fair again like we did yesterday with we had Christoph from No Justice, No Bart, Josh Wolf, who's a journalist who was detained during the protest. We also had Hubris, who's been arrested twice, I guess, during the Op Barts and by Bart police. And then we had Anonymous Caller, we had Shaggy, and more. Now, today I was told to expect somebody, so I don't know what's happening, but they told me to expect them, so, I guess it's going to happen. A big shout-out to my Crappy for Life friends in the chat right now. Crappy Teabags has arrived. I'm really not sure who it is, but I've seen them before, and I just wanted to say hi to you, Crappy Teabags. Crappy for Life, guys. So, so we are going to talk about some of the stuff that we talked about yesterday, and a little bit more, depending on who calls in. We're going to talk about Urge, and actually, let's start off with that, because I know a lot of people have been requesting that. Let me go over. I got my PC open right now, and I was trying to Urge earlier, and basically what it is it's, well, if you're watching the non-Twitter accounts, they did something called Op Twitter Raid, which is essentially where they, you know, took a hashtag, say, you know, wifey material, the trending hashtag right now, and they would use the hashtag in order to draw attention to something that was actually important. So instead of having some Jersey Shore related, you know, stupid trending tweet, you end up with a trending tweet, but at the top, you know, because it gets a lot of retweets, you have a tweet that's actually about something and actually draws attention to something that's actually important to the world and isn't just stupid stuff like Jersey Shore and sex. It's the statement for Urge Reads. So that's essentially what it does. So I went in and I tried it out, and it's pretty cool. I just click a few buttons and you got your tweets out and you keep tweeting. The best part is, you know, if there's some moron who's creating all the trending tweets and is kind of crazy, you can actually blow up his Twitter in about 5 seconds. It's not very hard. You can actually blow up his Twitter in about 5 seconds. So yeah. Before I get to anything else, really, I want to read the statement from Anonymous about the new tool, and I also want to just point out a couple of things about it, because I mean, this was supposed to be covered yesterday on the show, and I totally missed it because at the end of the show, as you guys know, I had a hurrah of amazing callers. Christoph and No Justice, No Bard, Hubris, and all the guys who called in. We had I'm Sweet Squared, Emmy, and so their calls take priority, as I always say. So here's the statement about Urge. The people of the interwebs, we recently have become tired of seeing trending topics on Twitter that were redundant and pop culture-like. We've also grown tired of Twitter not trending hashtags that actually serve a cause and mean something to free thinkers of the world. We have taken note of why Twitter would not do so, that only trend topics which would appeal to people and can get people to tweet more. That was pathetic in our eyes, and we could not stand by and take it anymore. We have developed a program called Urge, Universal Rapid Gamma Emitter Twitter Edition, which hijacks trending topics of our choice and then lets us tweet messages within them. This will help raise awareness for problems going on in this world and show people that real problems exist outside of Jersey Shore and sex. We will distribute this problem amongst Anonymous and anyone else who cares to use this for awareness and bashing corrupt politicians. This is not a hacking tool, nor is it an exploit tool. It was created to make it easier for us to tweet faster without copying and pasting constantly. You can download this program here. It's a Windows, and it's in beta. You will need a .NET framework. They have a user guide and source code, and then it says, "We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us." The official Twitter is _urge, and the support contact is anon_greets. And I made sure I read every last detail for you guys there. So that's basically what Urge is, or as I called it, Surge. That's basically what it is. And it's just a Windows program right now, and it's going to be available on Mac and on Linux soon. So yeah, again, guys, I'm taking your calls here, 858-769-3318. Tell me what your opinion is on the Urge tool. I'll be back with more on Urge in a moment. Here's a song by request of Motor Mouth News. It's 5 minutes long, so please don't kill me.
Thank you.
Yes, that's right. Do you know who you're listening to? It's Crappy Tires. It's Caleb here, and we're back. It's 3:45, and we're now joined by Jackal Anon. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How's it going?
Pretty swell.
Pretty slow, yeah.
First of all, I wanted to give out a shout-out to Motormouth. Also wanted to ask Mary Mad to marry me.
I think that made her mad.
Lol. So how are you doing, Crappy?
Doing good, doing good. Apparently I need to get some better intro music. I'm trying to see what they'll say here.
Yeah, it looks like Nexus Flame is flaming.
Flaming. He's hating in the bay.
You're not in the bay, bro.
Well, maybe I am in a bay. I could be underwater right now.
So is Vince calling in?
I don't know. You should tell him to. Vince, call us. Call in, Vince. 858-769-3318. I think that I'm supposed to get some of the callers from yesterday, the ones that we're talking about off.
Nice. I was hoping to talk to Christoph if he was going to jump on.
I messaged him on Twitter. I can send him a DM, too, but I sent them an at reply.
They don't check their DMs, bro.
They DM me as soon as...
We don't
see
them very often.
You got to tell them to check it. I have to tweet them. Check your DMs.
Yeah. I don't know how they'd feel about that coming from me, but whatever. So, what are we talking about today?
We're supposed to talk about Urge. We just talked about that. I don't know if you were listening in earlier. We were talking about the new tool, Urge. We were talking about Jersey Shore insects. And
yeah, don't you hate that the weird pop social trends is what's trending and not is actually what's trending in the world? Like when the Egypt shit was happening down, you never saw the Egypt hashtag, although they were getting millions of hits per hour.
It's because they don't want it that they don't want bad things to hashtag. Like there was that back in the day, probably like a year ago, there was like a it was in Iraq, they had like a thing where they were fighting back against somebody, and the hashtag got blocked, and it was probably like the top hashtag on Twitter, and they just blocked it out.
Yeah, they're gay.
And I'm looking at San Francisco,
so
and
we can't hate them too much.
Op bird has never trended in San Francisco, but it should have trended the first op bird.
And they try to give us a weird thing that if you're an account with the same name as the hashtag, mm-hmm. that you can't trend. But I've actually done some research on that, and every single account has it. Every single top trend has an account.
But they only get an account after they trend.
Right. But still, that would still block it, right?
It should. Now, and then there's these stupid ones that trend that are like a bunch of random letters, like 20 chairs that trend. So ridiculous.
Vince is hating on me right now. I just got a private message. Hi, Vince.
The IRC says you sound British.
Hey, whoever knows where the fuck I am. All happens to be where my VPN is pointing in the morning.
Didn't you say that before?
I say that every morning.
Wherever my VPN points is where I am.
Oh, hi, feds.
The feds are listening. They're the guest accounts, or the ones with the
really...
There's
a whole bunch of fucking of them.
See, Vince gets more guests because he's got more feds watching him after being a criminal. Now you're from Hawaii. That's from Motormouth News.
Yes, Motormouth News would know where I live, obviously. So,
or in Germany.
Who knows? I was chatting with some sexy foxes this morning, that's for sure. Well, you're too young for that chat.
Oh, I'm sure I got the feed.
You what? Wish you were on that feed, bro.
I told her to say hi to you from me, but she says, LOL, too late, I just logged off, yo.
So have you played around with Urge yet? What do you think?
I trolled this girl who was trolling me yesterday with Urge from a new account.
Was it helpful for trolling?
I gave her like 3 pages of tweets in about 2 minutes.
See? That, my friend, is what Urge was made for.
I sure shut her up for a minute or two.
Nice.
Let's see. Now you're in SF.
Yep. See, little known fact is Motormouth News actually controls my VPN, so I actually have no idea where I'm living right now.
Ah, see. Or you're in the Ukraine, which is where I'm, which is where my last name's from.
You bet.
Teabag says donut. I don't know who it is. He's been in Vince in the Bay before. I don't actually know who it is. Anyway, shout out to everybody who's joining us in the chat room. Anx Medics. I have no idea how to say that. Krabby Teabags, Jack All Anon, Jay Galvezo, Lulzone, Mary Mad. You mad, by the way? Motormouth News, Nexus Flame, and Vince in the Gay. I mean Vince in the Bay. And all the people on Twitter. I sound very sexy, says Anonymous Chief. Vince in the Bay, Motormouth News, 1U Cypher, Motormouth News, Awesome _ Hubris, and he's supposed to join me, but I don't know where he is. So, anyway, we should have those on. But before I get them, let's play this.
Are you guys...
And we're back.
And yeah, you know, Jackal, if you tweeted it, we'd get a few feds here that could listen to you. Say hi to them. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to gamble over at that right now.
There'd be a lot of them here. Okay.
We need some more callers.
We do. That's why I told you. You should tweet the number like you did that one time, and then we can.
Oh, okay, I'll tweet the number. I'll tell them that they can call and talk to me right now.
858-769-3318.
Copy paste, bro.
Command C. Command C. There is a Fed here. Good to know. Hi, Feds.
Whatevs. They can't stop us. We haven't done shit wrong yet.
Nope. They can't stop a talk show.
No, this, I believe, would be underneath the First Amendment in the States.
I don't know. Here it would be under freedom of speech in the freedom of speech.
Let's just say that this is a Canadian show and they have no jurisdiction.
It is. It's a Canadian show run by a Canadian corporation registered in Canada. So it works out. I've got all my legal bounds locked in, as always.
Right. You ready for some spam?
Next, does your captain know that you're chatting instead of working?
Actually, I got this approved first. So my captains are very okay with it.
Yeah.
Lols, by the way.
I've never heard anybody say lols out loud. Just pointing that one out for you.
You're kind of a new fag. It's okay.
Oh, my Twitter just exploded.
I have that effect.
It really did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tweets. So we'll be taking your calls in just a moment. I like the new Op-Bart logo, by the way, with the gun in it.
Actually, I heard Oscar Grant's family doesn't like it, so it'll probably change again today.
Now, they've been watching the Op-Barts, his family?
Yeah, I haven't got a confirmation on that, but I've been getting, like, emails and tweets from, like, their family and saying just different things, not pro or con, just saying that they appreciate the media attention. They've never said anything about the marches or anything like that. But verbatim, I just got a tweet saying, Oscar Grant's fam, : creator sold shirts and lied, saying he was going to contribute a portion to the family. I suggest you don't use your new picture. So, obviously, I don't know everything. I just picked the logo because I thought it was cool and I thought I had a good message. But out of respect for their family, I mean, that's why we're doing this. I'll change it. I don't have a problem with it.
And now the phone line has opened. I see we got a caller. If you want to talk to me and Jack going on, you got to press 1. Press 1 to talk to us. But the other picture is of the BART train. It says Op BART on it. So we got a 925 caller. Can I get your name, or do you want to be anonymous?
I'd rather be anonymous.
So 925 caller, you're on the air with me and Jack all anon, talking about Op BART, No Fear, and Urge.
I just saw it on a Twitter post. It said, call me now, so I did.
So you're live on a talk show here on blogtalkradio.com.
All right, cool. What are we talking about?
Time with Anonymous.
All right, cool.
We're just talking about the new software, Urge. I don't know if you have any comments or questions about that.
Actually, I've been hearing a lot about Urge. I'm actually wondering what that is. I don't have internet at the moment. I can't really afford it, so.
I got to just get everybody else on here. 610 caller, can I get your name? Would you prefer to remain anonymous?
I would prefer to remain anonymous.
Anonymous caller, you're on the air. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to get everybody on the air, and then I will take
questions. What's up, Tires? It's the airbag over here.
So that's hello, airbags. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Had to work today.
You 610?
610. Yeah, sure. Wherever frickin' spoof card says you, I'm calling from is where I'm calling from.
I'm just trying to get the names in here. Blocked number. You're on the air. Can I get your name, or would you prefer to remain anonymous?
Block number. This is Christoph. If you can hear me.
Christoph from No Justice No Bart.
Uh huh.
You're on with Jack All Anon and me and Crappy Airbags.
Oh, cool.
Jack All Anon.
Yeah. What's that?
How you doing?
Hey.
So, Christoph, I just got a message on Twitter saying that the new Op Bart logo was disrespectful to Oscar Grant's family. Can you weigh in on that? Is that true, or is this just someone pulling my leg?
The new what?
The new logo
for the Op Bart. It's the gun making the Op Bart,
oh.
The Bart logo with the crosshairs. And
oh, yeah, I can weigh in on that for sure. The best thing to do, there's an IndieBay posting about that, the history behind that actual, that graphic.
Okay.
There's nothing, like, in the graphic that's inherently disrespectful to them. It's just that the graphic was created by somebody that, they asked, it's kind of complicated, that they asked, trying to remember. I actually they may have had a problem with that graphic for some reason that I'm not remembering. But it was more that this guy was like selling T-shirts with that logo on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They had an interaction with him where he basically said, okay, well, he would take the money that he made from the tea, donate it to, this is really hazy memory. I'll actually look it up right now, but it really had to do with, I think mostly with the interaction, and so the history of that logo is basically pretty sour.
Alright, then I'll change it. I just wanted to confirm that before I just fed into some troll that was trolling me.
Yeah.
Jackal probably has the most trolls on Twitter.
True story.
Yeah.
There's something on SF Fist about it, too, here. But,
Yeah, I'll research it, but I'll change it out of respect. I mean, we're not trying to piss on anybody or piss anybody off. We're merely here to do it for respect.
No, I mean, it's nobody's fault. That shit's been out there. People pick it up and they use it all the time because it's it's kind of making a point. And they don't know the history of it. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, they shouldn't feel bad about having picked it up or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're on the line, guys, and you want to join us, press 1. Just adding that.
Hey, Crappy Tires.
Yeah.
This is the Airbags. You just gave me a good idea when you're talking about this guy selling the T-shirt and donating
whatever they were talking about.
I can't keep track, but I got an idea for a Crappy Tires marathon. Where you would kind of be like a Jerry Lewis character, and instead of the Muscular Dystrophy Association, it will be Oscar Grant's family as the benefactor.
Like a BTR show.
Sure. You could probably at least raise a grand for him.
See if VITB would join in. I can raise a little bit more than that. I know me, but because I know how to get it out more than what I can do right now, like. Just from other marketing stuff that I do. So I see I got 2 callers that didn't put their hands up yet. If you want to talk to Jack All Anon, Crappy Airbags, Christoph, and me, press 1 for.
Hey, Airbags.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be more than happy to help promote that as well if we can get something sent and done.
You know what it is? It's a really good counter lever, right? So even though what happened with No Fair and how they came down so hard on the press, and that's likely to seriously decrease mainstream acceptance of the BART police when common and ordinary citizens see them behaving that way, this is another lever against them in terms of, yeah, there's protest, and yeah, you might be held up during your commute, whether it's the protesters' fault or the police or the media's, doesn't really matter. But there's also this other positive thing happening for this particular individual's family, where they're getting cash donations to, you know, get them through the rough spot, right?
Right.
So I think it's a good lever and wedge against the unfair perception that people are getting of the protests. I'll leave it at that.
There's just another legal way that we can help, since it's been mostly a clean operation except for a few dumb fucks at the beginning. But
I think those guys were Team Poison that started all the trouble in the beginning. They seem to be the biggest fuckwads in the world, so I think it was them.
Actually, I know for a fact that Team Poison was on there because I'm friends with all the people on Team Poison.
I was joking.
Okay.
He was joking because he's a friend of Charlie's. I see.
If I can weigh in on the fundraising just for a second.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think, you know, if you are going to do something like that, you know, it'd be a good idea to just contact the family first before you end up or before you like organize anything. Just because they're different.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely pretty public. You could talk to Oscar Grant's uncle, and they're actually, you know, that family settled a couple of lawsuits with BART already, and they're pretty engaged civically. So like, there's a lot of projects that they're doing now that they might want help with. So, like at least I know, you know, Cephas, that Oscar Grant's uncle is definitely engaged in some projects. So, there's you know, if you wanted to do a fundraiser of some sort, those are the people that you'd want to talk to.
Do you have like a link that they're doing outreach or anything like that that you can like tweet me, DM me, email me, anything?
Sure, I'll DM you a contact for Cephas if you want. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
All right. I found the thing about the BART gun logo, by the way.
Okay.
That he publicized this logo. This dude, according to, you know, according to Oscar Grant's family, they got really upset because the guy that made the logo designed it and put it all over the internet, started making T-shirts and stickers and stuff, and really promoting it, and saying that all proceeds would go to the family, and that was. It was on the web and stuff, and then the family, a friend of the family, tracked him down, and it wasn't true, and you know, that he hadn't donated it, and apparently, you know, after he was confronted about it, I think he might have given them some money, but they were kind of offended because not so much because they thought like the, I guess they were disturbed by the logo because it. You know, they didn't personally like the logo because of the way that it kind of superimposed the gun with the BART thing. They felt like it. I don't know if I can really articulate their objection because I don't know that I share it as much. But they weren't fond of sort of the irony of the logo, and they were also especially not fond of the fact that like their name had been used to promote it. And they hadn't been consulted about it ahead of time. So basically, like, they've been like, you know, buy this T-shirt so that money goes to the family. You're also promoting the design that you haven't checked with them that they want. A, they want any money from selling that thing. Or B, that they want their name associated with it at all, and so forth. So that was like that was sort of the issue around that logo, just to get that out there.
Okay.
I see that I got a couple of callers still haven't raised their hand. If you want to talk to anyone on the line, you got to press 1 to talk to us. I know when that tweet went out that had like 5 or 6 people call in and then just hang up. So if you want to talk to me, press 1 or just sit on hold and listen.
Crappy, you're kicking ass in the chat room there with feds. I've never seen that many DHS, feds, and FBI in the same room. Hat tip.
How many feds do we have?
Although I think if you look at their hourly billable rate, you're costing taxpayers approximately $1,000 an hour on the crappy show here. You know?
Every time that Jackal sends out a tweet, it costs them about $100. They've got to look at every letter, make sure is there anything in there we could find.
Well, I know for a fact that they used artificial intelligence, two artificial intelligence patterns. One of them is called back propagation neural net, and they use that for sentence summarizing, which is basically what you're talking about. It turns all the less than threes into love, and it summarizes the structure of the tweet. And then I'm pretty sure there's another AI algorithm they use called particle swarm optimization, which tracks how we all tweet each other and what our followers and followees are, and they can build a really large graph of data from that.
Yeah, mind mapping. We've been doing that for a little bit on a project and having fun with some trolls. So.
Oh, I know about this. Is this the chicken troll? Remember the guy, I gave him my number via DM and I told him to call me because I knew guaranteed he wouldn't do it, and he didn't do it.
I'm not going to go much into it, but yeah, we have a huge mind map on that whole trolling. Let's call it a group.
Well, the tools are in use on both sides is the important thing to remember.
Right, absolutely. And you can find them for free online, and very easy to use and very helpful.
Watermouth News would like to announce that the DHS and feds are going broke because of us.
Bart's going
That's right.
broke because of us.
You know, Jacko, you yourself have been a part of charging Bart $300,000.
Well, no, it's not just me. It's everybody that's on the ground.
I know. But
and
like,
that's able to join the march.
It's pretty sad that they spent so much money. I mean, they didn't need to. It's a big issue.
Absolutely.
Like, they had 10 cops for one person. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
I think I've watched every video about Bart, and it's crazy about how many cops are there. And also different organizations. It's not all your normal cops. It's not all your BART cops. You have some serious motherfuckers there.
They think you're going to show up. That's the thing, is they think you're going to be there. So that's why the FBI is sitting there.
Me, Commander X, and Sabu is going to the next one holding hands. just to let you guys all know.
So, Christopher, are you going to go to Op Part 5?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to try to go to Op Part 5. I was going to say, you know, like, people are, like, really, focusing on two things. One is this, like, 300K, which I just want to, like, reiterate for people, like, you know, whatever we're costing them, they're costing themselves 10 times more. Like, you know, you can't take credit for costing Bart money because, I mean, they cost themselves money. Their own incompetence costs them so much more than we could ever really, like, legitimately cost it. So,
absolutely.
That's something that's to keep in mind. And they paid, they paid Dorothy Dougler $1 million to step down. They blew $300,000, you know, on a report, on an investigation, the Oscar Grant killing, and then they proceeded to ignore everything that it said, including the cops to fire. Then we had protests, which cost them more money. They finally fired the cops. Then when they fired the cops, that cost them more money. It cost them $80,000 to fire two cops. Like, I don't know how it cost them $80,000 to fire two cops. You know, the chief goes, "You're fired," right? That's $80,000, and then those guys, went through some arbitration process, and Bart rehired them. So they ended up spending, like, probably $500,000 to not fire two people. And
yeah, but that happens all the time. Happens all the time. They get put on paid leave, and then they go two or three counties over, and they get a job as a cop, and they start collecting a full paycheck from another county while they're drawing their paid leave on the original county. That's like... That pattern has repeated itself so many times, it's not even funny.
Right, but I mean, and that's the thing. We you know, just taking. I think the logic that we're going to bleed them dry is kind of. I don't know.
Never happened.
We're going to make life miserable for them, for sure. and they're going to express that as, like, in terms of a financial sum, like expenditure. But the real thing is the headache. It's not the money, because they're not even spending their own money. They're spending our money. I mean, they're a public agency. So
yeah, we also,
yeah, you'll never bleed them dry. That won't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing you'll do is embarrass them that there's been that much taxpayer money spent on the thing when there didn't need to be. But
right.
that's just going to embarrass them maybe into not, you know, having such a show of force there, such a presence there.
And just to say something, you know, about the Department of Homeland Security presence there, and this isn't going to be a complimentary either, but it is kind of sad because apparently there's like some kind of a hierarchy in terms of respect in police forces. You know, BART police don't get any respect, but like the BART police were ragging on the Department of Homeland Security police. So I don't know. Apparently those guys are even less competent than the BART cops. Some of the arrestees were talking about how the BART cops were like they took everybody's property. And they're supposed to keep your property in sight. And there were some Department of Homeland Security people who were kind of blocking someone's view of their property. And they're like, you know, the person's craning their neck to make sure that they can keep an eye on their property. Cops ask them what they're doing. And so, well, we're trying to make sure that we can see our property. And they said, oh, don't worry, those are Department of Homeland Security cops. Like, they wouldn't know how to open a property envelope. So, I don't know. Their presence, I mean, to me at least, is less like nefarious than just part of this like kind of cavalcade of incompetence around the protests.
Hey, can I say something about the DHS guys?
Yeah.
The real crime in the DHS guys being there is that there's a group of Pakistanis driving around inside of our country looking to make a 9/11 anniversary attack. Every single DHS agent in existence should be all over that shit, not jacking their meat at Op No Fair. That's all.
Well, I mean, you're also, well, question is, like, to what degree are folks that are being hired onto, like, this Department of Homeland Security payroll, which is, like, this new, you know, police department, they're really being hired on to go into places like airports and train stations and just make people feel, I guess they think it's going to make people feel good to see another uniform, another badge, and another type of gun. I mean, they did it right after 9/11. In San Francisco, they had the National Guard walking around the airport with M16s. And you know what happened? It's kind of sad. One of these National Guard guys shot himself in the ass with his M16. Which is, I mean, that was the sum total of, and then they took them away. Then they went away. But like that was like, you know, that was supposed to make people feel safer. And it's like funny because he shot himself in the ass, right? But like you have people walking around with a gun that they're that incompetent with that gun that they'll shoot themselves in the ass. Like how is that going to make anyone feel safe? You know, and a freaking like assault rifle in an airport, and the person that's got it slung over their shoulder like manages to. to, you know, pull a Plaxico Burress. It was pretty sad. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this, like, of sort of the way that they're kind of building out these specialty police forces that are, I mean, I see it kind of like BART. They do it in school districts. They do it the transit systems. They do it for, like, housing units and stuff. And because they're so insulated, and they're so focused on problems that really shouldn't be solved by police, they end up like committing a lot of brutality and a lot of stupidity too.
Also getting reports that TSA was there. Is that true or not true?
Who?
TSA.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't paying too much attention. I definitely saw the DHS guys, you know. And
yeah.
I definitely saw I saw tons of BART, I saw a few SFPD, but I didn't see any, we wouldn't be surprised if they were there, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, it actually makes more sense than the Homeland Security.
It's on an airport line, right?
Well, yeah, and it's still transportation.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
Now I have a question for both Jackal and Christoph. Like, Christoph obviously wants to no justice, no peace, to span the Bart fleece, and Jackal has a list of demands. Is that what you would call that? A list of things that they want, that Anonymous wants from Bart. From Bart. And so what is the ultimate goal? I mean, if they disband the police, do you want a security system? Like, what exactly? Because, I mean, obviously, there's some sort of... I mean, I want Paul Blart, Bart Cop, but anyway.
I think we're pretty much on the same page. Obviously, we haven't talked. But I think that they don't need guns. Obviously, they don't know how to use them. Tasers... I don't even really know what I think about that. I don't really see them as a true police force because they don't have the mayor talking to them. So, they need to be disbanded. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement, you know. And ultimately, to me, like a recognition, you know, disarming the BART police and disbanding the BART police are. They're not really that different, because if you disarm them, they basically have something that's completely different, you know, in terms of what kind of a police force you have on that system. You don't have armed police officers. And the weird thing is that, like, in some ways, disarming the BART police is kind of a bigger goal. Like that's like even a step beyond disbanding them. It's debatable. Like, you know, would they actually take disarmament? Would they agree to disarm? And like at the point where you get up to, like, when you start thinking about what they're going to do, right, to respond to the pressure that they're facing, they're going to, like, if they were ever going to disarm, that would have to come from the cops themselves, like, because every single police union in this country would flip the fuck out. You saw how hard they fought us in Sacramento just around the issue of police oversight, when people were going there and Bart was, like, quote-unquote, setting up police oversight. They fought on two fronts. One front was they didn't want the precedent to be established that oversight was imposed on the cops. So they didn't want the directors to be able to – or the Sacramento officials. There was a Tom Amiano – when the state reps was pushing a bill that would force BART to have civilian oversight. And they fought that and killed it. Every single cop union in the state showed up to kill that, because they didn't want to set the precedent that a public, you know, that an elected official could impose oversight on a police department. And then the second thing they did was they made sure that whatever civilian oversight they got was completely useless, which they've effectively done. So right now, their civilian oversight board, in their own words, are basically cheerleaders for BART. That's their role. And you know, in the same vein, if we get to the point where anybody with any kind of power is taking this demand seriously, disarm the BART police, if that's something being imposed from the outside, then there's no chance, there's not a snowball's chance in hell it's going to go through, because the kind of campaign that these folks, these police unions, will mount would be insane. And on the flip side, disbanding the BART police, there is tons of precedent for that. That does happen, and frankly, from the point of view of probably most of those political forces, the police unions and such, they would rather see that department disbanded than disarmed. So it's a tricky area, but I think that it sounds like it should be the opposite, that the more, like, realistic thing is disarmament, but it's not. It's kind of the flip.
Yeah, we can get another press release out to have our wording better, because I know it does say disband. No, not disband, but disarm. But especially since the protests, you've seen a lot of things that shouldn't be done. And I think we should reword some things.
Can we make a picture of Paul Blart and put, like, Paul Blart, a Bart cop?
Absolutely, in a Guy Fawkes mask.
Exactly.
Just to be consistent, it's cool if you, you know, if y'all want to demand the same thing, disband the BART police, which is, I don't think there's a problem with either demand being articulated. And just so you know, in the past, we've articulated disarm or disband,
yeah,
you know, as alternatives. Both of those things should just be out there. We stuck with the disband because we think, like I said, we think that's it's a much more realistic possibility.
It's probably the smarter one, too, because you don't want to get a whole bunch of cops that just have their guns taken away, upset, running around BART.
Possibly. I mean, BART started out with private security, you know, and they ended up going to this to police. And, there's this other thing, like, too, you disarm them, you leave them with the tasers. I mean, there's been the taser scandals that BART had. They had sort of like three taser scandals in a row where they did. I mean, have you guys heard about this?
Absolutely. I've done a lot of research since starting this operation.
Right. Well, there's a 16-year-old kid who was basically, and this came out of one of the BART directors who let it slip in a meeting, that they'd like basically tortured a kid in handcuffs in the back of a cop car because he said fuck you to them, and they tased him while he was cuffed in the back of a cop car. They shot a 13-year-old kid who was riding his bike out the window of a cop car.
Doing a drive-by on a kid?
Doing a taser drive-by on a kid on a bike. Well, it wasn't a drive-by. I think they were chasing him or something, but he was 13 years old on a bicycle. The guy's tasing him out the window of a car. And this is the guy, it was a sergeant who's responsible for training BART police in tasers. So he's like their trainer. He's the guy who trains the other cops.
Man, that's just
and then
disgusting.
And then they had this case where, like, you know, that same week they tased some guy purportedly on fare evasion, like he didn't have a ticket or something, and he rode the BART, and they caught up with him and they tased him. He wasn't running, he wasn't doing anything. They shot him with a taser, and I don't know, to punish him or something. Anyway, they had these three incidents in a row, and the irony of the whole thing is, for a while, they lost their tasers. So their police chief at the time took their tasers away. All of them. So they were running around with jet guns. So they have a spotty history with those tasers. And, yeah, I mean, there's some nasty shit that people do with tasers, so I don't know.
Absolutely. Has anybody died from tasers in the BART system?
Yeah, there's been a lot of deaths by tasers, but...
In the BART system?
Oh, in the BART system? No, I don't think so. Okay.
Even in Canada, we had deaths from tasers. Like, even in Canada, we had
them. Even in Canada.
Yeah, a guy got tased 32 times because they couldn't understand what he was saying because he was from another country. Couldn't understand what he was saying. He picked up a chair because he was getting so pissed off because he'd been walking around for 2 hours at an airport and nobody understood him. And they didn't even call a translator. They tased him 32 times and he died.
Yeah.
His name was Robert Dinansky, I believe. I don't know if
he didn't speak English. He didn't speak. He wasn't able to communicate, and they couldn't communicate with him, so they basically killed him.
Yeah. Right. That's what it sounds like.
But then there was no more communication problem.
Well, ironically, yeah. You know, that's the thing, like, with Oscar Grant, too. You know, when they say Meserly meant to pull out his taser, like... What if he had pulled out his taser? He had, actually. He had his taser out that day. Oscar Grant took a picture of him pointing his taser at him. So, you know, and then he put it away, and then he pulled out his gun and shot Oscar Grant. So, but the point that I wanted to make is, like, what if he had pulled out his taser instead of his gun that second time? And if he'd shot Oscar Grant in the back with the taser, Oscar Grant could still have died, and it still would have been essentially the same murder. Because there was no reason to pull the gun out in the first place, right?
Right.
Either one of those guns. When you're sitting on somebody's back, right, and you've got total control of them and everything about this situation, and you're pulling out a deadly weapon to essentially punish somebody or scare somebody.
And it didn't look like he was resisting.
He wasn't. He wasn't resisting. He had a 240-pound, like, 6'3", you know, Hulk on top of him. And then he had another guy who's, like, 6'4", and, like, 250 pounds on top of him. And that weight was pinning his arm under his body. He couldn't get it out. So they said, give me your arm, give me your arm. And they were crushing it under his body. And so you got a situation where these cops, like, he pulled out that gun completely unnecessarily, the same way they'd had their guns out that whole evening. Like, they showed up on the scene pointing their taser gun through the windows of a train. Like, what the fuck is that? You got that on video, like Tony Peroni running along the train pointing his taser gun through the window at people. It's not going to go through the window, but the point is they're doing what the BART cops do all the time and what cops do that's really, really offensive, which is using, like, a deadly weapon as a compliance, like, tool, like a hint. Like, you should never pull out a gun. If you've ever shot a gun, you should never pull out a gun and point it at somebody if you're not going to shoot them, you know? You should never pull it out to, like, threaten them. You should never pull it out to, like, to get compliance unless you feel like your life is in danger.
And that's in every gun training that you've ever taken, is that you don't point a gun at someone unless you plan on shooting them.
Right. And that's like, and so they're pulling out these guns and being like, you know, show me your ID. Or like, you know, in Miami Beach, you got cops pulling out your guns, give me your camera, right? Like, that's not an acceptable use for any weapon. Or like pulling out a taser and saying like, you know, pulling out a taser and telling someone to do something that you can just ask them to do. You know, if you pull the taser out, you should be pulling it out for safety reasons because you feel like you're going to be attacked or you're attacked. Or if you pull out a gun, you should pull it out because you feel like somebody's going to use deadly force against you. But you can't pull it out to be like, yo, drop the bottle, which is what they do to homeless people, you know. Drop the bottle, you know. Or you can't pull it out and be like, say fuck you again. Or you can't pull it out and say like, what did you say to me? You think I'm not a real cop? Like, you can't do that. And unholstering that weapon, these guys just, it's unacceptable, you know, and that's like, it's an epidemic in the country because they're viewed, they give them a toy like this, and now they view it as something that, like, they can use to force people, or to sort of like to scare people into being, you know, more cooperative. You're not obligated by law to be cooperative with a cop. You're obligated not to attack them. But you don't have to make their life easy for them. You don't have to, like, you know, when they say, you know, I'd like you to move over here, you don't have to do that. You know, if they tell you, you have to move over here because you're breaking the law and I'm going to arrest you, then you have a choice. But they can't, you're not obligated to be polite. You're not obligated to make their life, like, convenient. You're not obligated to make them comfortable. And you're not obligated to make their job easy for them.
Yeah, so too many people are sheep.
Yeah. And so they get used to it, and then they, when you don't move, they pull out their fucking deadly weapon, and they stick it in somebody's face, and then people die.
No. They have tasers. They have pepper spray as well, right?
They got everything. They got pepper spray. They got. You know, they started out as a big dog department, the BART police, for whatever reason. Not sure why, because this is before the era of, like, you know, people thinking that every piece of public transit was going to be bombed, but they had dogs, and they patrolled alone with dogs and shotguns. It's kind of weird. That's how they started out.
They still have dogs, right?
They do, yeah.
Any stories about them sticking the dogs on people?
I don't really know of any. Actually, you know, I think the majority of their, if you look at the stats, it's kind of sad because most of their arrests are for, or most of their, like, their activity is around, like, people who don't pay their fare, people who eat on BART, and parking lot. What?
Wait a second, you can't eat on BART?
No, you can't eat or drink.
Are you serious?
They'll give
you
a citation, yep. Yeah, it's true.
Why?
Just to be clear, everybody eats and drinks on BART, but you're not supposed to.
Okay.
You probably wouldn't want to, given how clean it is. It's kind of nasty, but, you know, whatever. People do what people do. There's lots of people who eat and drink on BART. And then they also deal with a lot of parking lot stuff because there's a lot of people drive to BART and then they ride the BART into the city from the suburbs. And
which sounds like that's what BART's ideal customer is. They don't give a fuck about the people in the inner city. They don't care anything about the people that are in need. All they care about is those rich fucks that are driving it, parking, and then
and that's also ironically that's who their cops are too, and it's not an accident. So their cops are people who, and this was found out, you know, by the media as a result of this anonymous leak of the BART police data. they don't live in our service areas.
Absolutely.
And Bart, you know, and Bart, it was hilarious. Bart really quickly was like, yeah, these guys have a unique sensibility. They don't have to live in the service area to understand it. So I think I'm not sure if I told the story before, but I was riding to, I was getting the people that drove me to the jail, the Bart cops that drove me to the jail.
They didn't know where they were going.
I won't say her name, but it was a male cop driving, female cop passenger seat, right? And we're in downtown San Francisco. Okay, this is like Bart Central. Majority of their customers come here. They don't know the streets.
You're right.
And they don't know how to get to the jail. So this woman's looking at her iPhone, trying to navigate her way to the jail.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that last night or yesterday.
But here's the kicker. I don't know if I told you this part. We're trying to get to the jail, and she tells the guy how to go. It's correct and everything. They get there, but right before they make a left turn, she looks at him. She's like, "Oh, check it out! It's the new Mercedes." And so we look next to us. I look to the right, he looks to the right, and there's like a Toyota Yaris parked right there. And we're like, what? And she's like, no, over there. And catty corner to where the Bart cop car is, there's a new Mercedes dealership. So this is somebody, like, Bart cops are people who are so, like, they're cops who operate in San Francisco County. The majority of their operation is in San Francisco County, right? There's the San Francisco County Jail, and they don't know how to get to it, and they don't know the streets downtown, the streets right around the BART stations. They don't know the way around, but what they do know, and they do keep track of, where the new Mercedes dealership went in San Francisco. Like, that says it all, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, these are who they are.
Especially my research has shown me that most people in San Francisco actually don't drive. They take public transport, which I think is permissible. But they should know what's around them.
They're like shopping for Mercedes. They're shopping for their Mercedes.
Even Lindsay's not in the service area. I wanted to point that out. He's in Oakland. I don't know if that's in like the main service
area. Oakland, trains go to Oakland.
Trains go to Oakland, and they go throughout, and they go into these far suburbs. But apparently the cops don't even live in the suburbs that are served. So a lot of these folks live way the hell out. Johannes Meserle was from, like, Napa. I mean,
interesting thing about this leak, and I know all these...
I talked to her. I know the person who did it.
Yeah,
I have to crack something before she yells at me later. She told me multiple times that she's a 16-year-old French girl and it wasn't done on behalf of Anonymous, is what she tells me.
Right. I'm just going to talk about the leak. There was two leaks that went out. There was a customer leak, and then there was the police leak. By talking to people that have been questioned by the feds about this, they don't care about the customer leak. They don't care about it at all. All they care about is this police leak. That says something in itself. They don't care about you as a customer. All they care about is their people with badges, that their information is on the internet. Information that technically should be legal because they are government employees.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that too.
And the most embarrassing part about the leak is this. It was a girl, she's 16 years old from France, allegedly. That's the first hack. And she told me it was a piece of cake over Google Talk the other day. She said it was a piece of easy cake. Like, it wasn't hard at all.
Yeah, she Googled the information. It's hilarious once you read everything around it.
Did you guys hear about the new – I just saw this, actually. Bart, the Bart is trying to they double down again. Now they want to put restrictions on the media that protests.
Yeah.
Do you see this?
You can't put
they want to do shit that not even like the local police departments do. They want to like do like this embedded reporting shit like it's the military or something. They want to put they want to create, like, I guess, pockets for the media. They can stand with the riot cop line.
We're joined by Hubris now too as well. I just wanted to.
Hi, Hubris.
What's up, Hubris?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, okay. I just called in. I just got home, so I don't know what's currently being discussed outside of Pop Bart.
We're discussing the Bart, and we're discussing the Bart police leak, specifically.
The police what?
The leak of the police officer's information and how the police are outside of Bart's service areas.
Oh, yeah. That, obviously, there's issues with, too, because they don't know the population they're working with so much as they're being told what to do. I do have some concern with that, but overall it still goes back to the fact that I don't think they're properly trained.
I think we're on the same page, actually.
Well, I would hope so if we're all working together for the same cause.
True.
I mean, a few different things. Again, one of the big things that got me involved was the fact that Bart cut cell service, thereby saying, we don't want to allow dissent. That's what initially got me involved, and it has come down to the way that they've just conducted themselves. I mean, this last protest was kind of, they knew that they were going to be arresting us whether or not they issued a warning, which I didn't hear to disperse, and they'd already corralled us at that point anyhow. So at this point, they want to aggravate us. They want to antagonize us. They want us to respond violently, so that gives them the cause to respond back with more force. But I'm glad we haven't, and I don't see us doing that before they do.
Right.
Well, I have a question. I have a question for you guys, actually, about what you're saying about training.
Okay.
You know, I like, people like often say, like, cops need training and stuff, and what Bart will say to that is basically, and it's true, that their cops go through the same police academy that every other cop goes through.
Okay.
And, you know, technically they receive more training, blah blah blah, because afterwards they go through this extra, whatever, BART training. So anyway, they claim that their police officers are trained and they have the same training as every other new recruit for every other department, which kind of begs the question, because I mean I know that, and most of us know this, like, you know, you go to school for something, right, and then you start doing it, and most of what you end up needing to know how to do, you learn on the job, kind of through experience, right? You don't go into it being like knowing what the fuck is up. You go into it being kind of green, and then you sort of get kind of coached into it, just, you know, on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Where I imagine that policing is not that different, and I also, you know, you can point out that the Johannes Meserle and this guy James Crowell, who killed Charles Hill, both of them were like pretty new, and I don't know. It seems to me that this issue of training might be like a little red herring. That it's really kind of the experience that, or like how the department is set up structurally, or their experiences in the course of their work that, like, drives them to be as bad as they are, and not so much, like, this concept that they can go to a class and become, you know, and then go back and become better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're also joined by David from the Indie Bay, who was arrested at No Fair.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, yeah, I'm curious about what you guys think about that, seriously, in terms of training. Like, when y'all say training, what do we really think that entails when, not just for the BART police, but if you're going to do, like, police accountability stuff and you say, like, I want the cops trained on such and such, what is that?
Well, Christoph, to be honest with you, we are drafting up a new press release, actually, as we're talking. And in that, we are actually going to probably be taking that out, because there's not need for any training if they're disbanded. It's,
oh, well, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying this in a totally cynical fashion at all. I mean, and in a way, when you think about it, like, let's say that and I don't think we're going to be unsuccessful. I mean, I think we've been really successful so far, and we're really, really achieving a lot in the context of police accountability, just nationally. But let's pretend that.
Let me interrupt you on that. It's not nationally. Yeah? This is worldwide. People from all over the world is watching. And normally that's a cliche thing to say that the world is watching, but there's people in Egypt that have our back that is helping us get this information worldwide. They're using their resources that they've learned to be able to communicate with us, but then we can hopefully be all on the same page. We have people that are doing Op Syria that is telling us some cool ideas that we could all use. Social media wise, the black faxes, all that fun stuff. But this is worldwide, not just national. I'm sorry for interrupting.
True.
This show is proudly Canadian.
I was thinking about this yesterday. It's like, what if we totally did not succeed with the demand of disbanding the BART police? Like, in a sense, like, what's been going on is kind of, in a sense, training. Like, the BART police are being forced to deal with people that don't agree with them, with people who, like, they don't recognize as, like, valid paying customers or people that they're supposed to protect. Because there's, like, this firestorm of attention, and because there's this protest, they have to deal with us. But they have to deal with us on a level where they respect us to some degree. They can't just, you know, shoot us. They can't just beat us up. And they're not able to silence us. Like, in a way, this is, like, probably the best training that these cops will ever get, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, in terms of developing self-control and accountability.
Which is also why I think we have so many departments and organizations involved each week. I think it is training for them, something that they don't get in the textbooks.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot of training for them, courtesy of Christoph.
Crazy everybody, I mean.
There's a lot of people on the ground.
The training for them is of how to arrest people, because they choose him every time. They're learning.
Speaking, this is David. If I can interject here, they also chose me this time. I was the first one arrested. Dan Hartwig, they had everyone encircled. They had made a dispersal order. And then I was on the edge of the group.
Read the order?
No. There was no dispersal order.
Okay, I was going to say, because I understand as well.
Yeah, and so we were surrounded by the riot police. I was standing, like, between the crowd and the riot police, and I was sort of watching Dan Hartwig run around. He's the deputy chief at BART Police. And he lined up about five or six riot cops behind him, got them into formation straight behind him, and then he started moving really quickly into the encircled people. And he started going, him, 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 him. And every time he said that, the first riot cop behind him would grab whoever he pointed to. The very first person he pointed out was me, and he knows damn well who I am. I've been covering BART issues for 2.5 years now. I go to an insane amount of boring BART board meetings, subcommittee meetings. I was at one on Monday where their police review board was discussing their bylaws, you know, because nobody reports
all
this stuff. Nobody
too, so
gets it out there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
He was saying
he's at these meetings too.
Yeah.
He's
at
the meetings.
Dave ideas at. So they know.
Yeah, and he talks to me. You know, he'll usually talk to me. Sometimes it's just a little joke. Like, I'll say, like, are you having fun at a protest? Or, you know, he'll ask me where Christoph is or something like that. Sometimes it's a little more confrontational. But, you know, he knows me and greets me at all the protests and all the meetings. And he pointed me out first for arrest. And I had an opportunity to talk with him about twice while I was in handcuffs in his back office for 2 hours. And, you know, I was confronting him about that. And he's like, well, journalists can be arrested, too, if they're breaking the law. And I said, well, you're letting other journalists go because I saw the police line up and there's no other journalist in there. And he just, you know, he just kept making up excuses. He told me, I asked him about the dispersal order, and he said, we don't have to give a dispersal order.
No, what I understand, and I was only listening to the radio. I was actually not there. But what I understand is they locked down the gates and then started arresting. So they can find you.
Not entirely, no.
Well, is that
they true? Circled the group, they circled the group before they closed the gates.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of the problem is that they were giving the dispersal order as they had us encircled.
Yeah, the dispersal order came over the loudspeaker.
Okay.
We should be really clear about what you guys. We should be really clear about what happened, because it's really, really clear that they planned the arrest ahead of time, and the way that they planned to do it. They shut down half of the station because our protest was supposed to be dispersed in two parts of the station, and they shut that down. They shut down one half of the station so they could force everybody into a tighter space, and then they closed most of the exits so they could control entry and exit for most people. And then what they did next was that they brought their cops in, and they started to surround – the group of protesters that included the folks that they thought were, you know, the protest, so that includes me and a few other people, they encircled us all the while trying to push, you know, they were walking around the outsides of the protest telling people to get out of the station, get out of the station, but they weren't allowing the folks in the middle of that circle to get out of the station. So the they had two groups of cops doing two different things. One group of cops keeping people in the station to make sure that they would be arrested, and another group of cops that were trying to get passengers out of the station, push media out of the station, and sort of looky people that were looking and observing out of the station so they could close the gates. And those gates ended up being closed like minutes after we had been encircled. So they closed that circle in. And the gates weren't closed for a while. They were closed well afterwards. And even while we were encircled in that circle and being detained, as we were told, for investigation, they said they were investigating whether we had violated that thing that we were eventually charged with, the interfering code and part of the
369I.
Right. We were being investigated for that. And while they were doing that, they were issuing a dispersal order to the rest of the people in the station. So they were legally detaining us while they were evacuating the station. So they weren't giving us any kind of a chance to comply. They were using their legal powers as cops to deny us the chance to comply, and in a completely, completely cynical way. Whereas, they didn't mass arrest everybody who was in the station. They selected who they were going to mass arrest in the station.
And if they had given a dispersal order, part of the reason probably they didn't give a dispersal order is because if they had, protesters would have left the station, they would have closed the station, and then protesters would have marched to another station. So they were pretty much abusing their power trying to end the demonstration right then and there.
We stated ahead of time that our intention was explicitly not to get arrested. So they from us, they had that in those guidelines that were posted, and they had that vocalized there. So they knew very well that we didn't want to get arrested, and so their response was basically to break the law in order to arrest us.
I think part of the problem too is that, at least on behalf of the protesters, we didn't do anything illegal. I can vouch for that. I didn't see anybody block fare gates or ticket booths or what have you. But we stopped marching. And I know the police cut off just one portion over near the fare gates, but we let them encircle us. And I know I heard one or two other people just shout out, they're circling us or they're kettling us. And nobody moved. We just kind of stayed right there. And I think that had we just continued to march around those ticket machines or even just anywhere else along the steps, we probably wouldn't have happened. And I mean, it still looks bad on Bart's behalf shoving people out of the shoving people out of the station, or I'm sorry, shoving the media out of the station just to arrest us privately. But I don't think we got a chance to really be heard that day either. And I guess what I'm suggesting next time is that we just keep moving, especially if someone among the protesters notices that they are starting to circle us.
And you guys, you know, you can feel free to leave me behind, but you know, if I could distract, leave me behind. But I do want to add that I was aware that they were doing, you know, I saw those lines. I was walking along that line of cops. And I specifically, and I have this on video, I'm asking those cops, is the station closed? Can I leave? Can I go through here? Because they're not allowing me to go towards that exit on the other side. And I'm asking if I can get through. I'm asking if I can get through. And I'm walking down the line, and there's a gap at the end of the line. And I, you know, we posted a tweet about this, so to see if people had video of this. One of those cops walks up behind me. And at the time, I thought he was just being a dick, and he grabs me by my this sort of, he's this huge guy. You can see in the video he's like 6'4", but he grabs me by my backpack handle and just jerks me, like literally lifts me off the ground. This guy's huge, lifts me off the ground and yanks me back, and gets in front of me, and you know we were like, what the hell are you doing? That's assault. We responded to this. But later on, it's slowly dawning on me that they really wanted to keep us there, and that what they were doing when he did that was essentially like letting us know, ensuring that we were going to stay there. Like if we tried to leave, even while there was a way to leave, there were going to be, and this is what happened to me, there were cops coming up and grabbing us back in. So they were essentially hauling us back into the station, or they were making it clear that they were going to haul me back into the station if I tried to get out of that circle that they were closing, you know. So
right, and it
so
also created a big distraction while they closed the circle.
Right, it's not necessarily true that all of us, at least. You know, the ones of us that are going to be targeted by these cops, like, are going to be able to escape, like, kettling, because they're at the point where they're willing to assault you to ensure that you get kettled, which is it's a level of policing. I've been around a lot of protests. It's a level of like of policing that I haven't seen before. It's not, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a little bit sinister. It's a little bit weird. Like, I'm going to assault you to make sure that you stay in the station so that when I read a dispersal order, you're surrounded by cops and you can't leave. It's like a roundabout way. You know, they might as well just send in the snatch squad when I show up and arrest me for existing, you know? Like,
they might as well just black bag you.
Why are they? You know, they're going through these hoops, and it's what their function of all of these like actions in conjunction with one another is basically making it really, really clear, like just like their no ride list, that there are people that they just don't want on BART. They don't want anywhere near BART, and they don't want us there because we don't like the police, and we don't like how they run their police force. That's pretty much it.
Yep. And they came after you. I think you were the second or third arrest. I was the first, probably just because I was the closest to
I saw you out of the corner of my eye being marched off as well.
Yeah, the cop grabbed me, too, like I was in the middle of doing something criminal or, you know, or was hurting somebody or something. I mean, he was really, really rough with me. You know, oh, and the arresting cop, too, when I was back in that office, he said to me, he goes, "You're David, right?" You know, so they know who I am. You know, even this arresting cop who I'd never met before knew who I was. They had been talking about me earlier.
You said your name was Dave, right?
I'm sorry?
You said your name was Dave, right?
Yeah, David. Okay. I published as David.
So, does this discourage you from further protests or reaffirm
Me, no. No, and I told Dan Hartwig that, too. I was like, you know, you're trying to silence my voice right now. You know, you're trying to shut me down so that I can't cover the demonstration because you don't like what I have to say, you know, because I've been consistently critical of the agency, you know. I mean, if they actually do something halfway decent, which is rare, I'll say that, but most of the time they don't, and I say that. And I told him, too. I was like, you know, you're not gonna silence me. You're not going to shut me up. I'm going to keep reporting about Bart. And, you know, and you very well could be facing civil suits, you know, and not just from me for abusing my rights as a journalist, but the protesters' free speech rights as well.
And Anonymous is also filing them. Just to let everybody be clear on that, that is part of our plan, and we have been writing them. And we do have lawyers involved that are willing to do it for us. So,
mm-hmm. Good. So there is legal action being taken then, you know, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good. And I intend this week as well, I'm going to write letters to the board members that I know and tell them what Dan Hartwig did, as well as I'm going to go ahead and file a complaint with their new civilian review board. So,
well, they've gotten about 1,000 emails about how, I mean, not 1,000. They've probably gotten 2,000, 3,000 black faxes about how we feel about Thursday's events. They're going to continue getting that. Our new tool, Urge, is being used very willingly against their Twitter account. We know that they care about what their customers are saying to them via Twitter. All their Twitter messages are anonymous messages. So I don't know what they are expecting that we're going to just shut up.
They're desperate now. They're losing their minds, basically, is what you can obviously tell. They're losing their minds. They don't know what to do about this, and they're just keep upping the ante. And people aren't going to give up. Obviously, you know. I mean, Anonymous is doing the Black Facts thing and the Urge, and you know, and then the protesters on the ground are going to keep showing up to demonstrations.
Yeah, I actually got in touch with some other anons that are. We had a few fly in, the first one from the UK. Have a few more flying in for Monday, and people driving in from all over the U.S. to come on Monday because they want to know where to get masks in San Francisco, so I keep on getting these emails.
Interesting.
So this one for Monday, then, it's going to be topside of Civic?
Right.
Five. Okay.
And then we are asking everybody to stick as a group. We anticipate marching, so march as a group. We don't want people getting into smaller groups because then you have more police accountability issues. I've heard of stories of people getting targeted just for taking pictures of the undercover cops because they're driving around in these little Hondas. We listen to the radio, and we know everything. So we're letting people know that, and they're taking pictures of them.
Can I make a request as a reporter? Can you guys be sure to archive the somewhere online those broadcasts that you're monitoring?
Absolutely.
Just for future reference, so they don't just disappear.
Email me at otbart@gmail.com. We have all of them.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. Great. And you can publish them yourself to indiebay.org if you'd like.
Oh, absolutely.
And that way other people
that,
can go,
that,
other
really
people with their time can listen.
A case against
I'm sorry?
These guys. I said all that will be really useful in building a case against these guys, you know?
Yeah, we have one of our other friendly anons has a page set up that has the hashtag flowing and the radio on the same page. So we go on there and read everything as it's happening. It's
nice.
Extremely useful as a activist that can't partake in the events because of locale, but able to follow online and give information out. We've been finding that Twitter is blowing up extremely during these events. Thousands of tweets with the hashtag.
Even the corporate media is tweeting.
Yeah, and they're using the hashtag.
Yep.
No.
What's even more exciting is now we have all these journalism students who want to go back and be at Albert number 5. That was really, really good because they were very good. I mean, I don't know if you were watching Jackal, but during that protest, their Twitter feeds of Justin's students were really good.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's basically all I was watching with the radio.
Yeah. And also, interesting mark to make is that local media in San Francisco has been told not to broadcast live because they know we're watching, which is hilarious, especially with the availability of streaming media by any cell phone. We still watch. You're not stopping us from watching. We're just not watching from an HD camera. I honestly don't know what Bart is expecting from us. It's like they don't expect that we're going to do anything.
They don't even expect us sometimes.
No.
Well, that would be their hope, but I don't believe they're quite that naive.
I spoke with Jim Allison yesterday, and I asked him if he knew about Opera number 5, and he told me he wasn't sure. And then he told me what the plan would be if it happened. I said, well, there was an account on Twitter called Opera that tweeted, expect us. I said, what would be the plan if that happened?
And did he give you a response?
His response was that the SFPD and the BART or whatever would be patrolling the concourse and the outside, I guess.
Mm. And that's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, SFPD has typically been topside and SF BART down on the station. I found it a little odd that they had Homeland Security agents there the last couple of times, though, down in the station.
Yeah, and I can't confirm it, but I'm hearing reports that TSA was also involved. It makes sense since it's a transit organization. It makes more sense than Homeland Security. But it's just everybody, all parties that be wanting to hang out, you know?
Yeah, the Justice Department's involved. There have been Ali Winston, who writes a regular thing about police accountability. I think he pulled up some documents and just found this giant list of agencies who have been involved in past Oscar Grant demonstrations in Oakland. They weren't necessarily BART demonstrations. You know, even the DEA, and, you know, God knows why they're involved.
I heard some of the DEA and then he cut out. Is that right?
I just said that even the DEA has been at past Oscar Grant related protests in Oakland.
That doesn't make much sense to me, but.
No. The what are they? The firearms, tobacco, and alcohol, they've been there.
That doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
A non-violent protest, why would you have such agencies?
It's because it was Anonymous promoting it. That's why. They thought Cebu was going to show up, and you were going to show up. I thought Commander X did go to one of them, though. He said
he has.
They didn't find him.
He went to the first one.
Is that why all the FBI was there?
I don't know. He said he was going to go to the second one. He has some cool plans up his sleeve. It'll be interesting if he ever does them.
Wow. But I just think that they got this wrong picture of what, you know, Anonymous promoted it, so this is what's going to happen. I think that's the picture they had.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're not, you know, a lot of these people, like, you know, who is BART? They're like, some of them are impressively stupid. I generally don't talk about people that way, but some of these folks, like, really, like, they're not there. They're not really present. They're not really aware of even what's going on with BART. Like, they come in, the board of directors, some of them just come in, and I can't imagine that they give like their job more than 15 minutes of thought a week. And so like honestly, some of these people, like going to register with them until like they get fired or they get voted out or you know, somebody else comes in and spanks them, like that, you know, someone who's actually like quote unquote important, like, you know, some CEO or some mayor basically comes in and just tears them a new one because they're dead weight. Like, and I'm talking about people like Blaylock, like, you know, Gail Murray, people that just sit in the bar meetings and literally pick their nose. James Fang, if you ever want to find his nose, that's James Fang. I mean, literally, you'll sit there talking about him about a police murder and his fingers like jammed halfway up his nose. And they get up, they leave, they come back, they get up, they leave. You know, they go to the bathroom, they stand up behind the podium ignoring you. It's like it's you know, that phrase, the banality of evil. Like, that's very true. Like, it's not, they're not like Skeletor, you know, they're not like whatever. They're literally, they're banal. They're boring acid, ugly people who don't register with, like, don't connect to the real world. It's insane. Not all of them. Some of them. So there's some of them who are, like, probably, like, you know, thinking things out. But, like, I mean, you see this. Like, you see, like, you know, they kind of pass the buck. So, like, it's every little while there's a new BART person who's kind of, like, in front of the cameras, like, as the firewall. So if it's Lynette Sweet, or then it becomes, like, Radulovich. Or then you see Bob Franklin, like, struggling. Or then, like, Lytton John vacation conveniently, and Chief Hartwig is, like, making an ass of himself in front of the cameras. Like,
speaking of the Lytton vacation, I got a DM on Twitter from a reporter who told me that there could actually be an emergency in his family. They gave me a reason, but they asked in capital letters that I do not send it out as a tweet. So,
no. Good.
Then don't send it out as a tweet.
But I don't want to say it out loud either, because, I mean, this reporter, she's a very good reporter, and so
okay. Can't.
Yeah. I probably just told you who it was by saying anyway.
I mean, it's sad. I mean, Hartwig's not doing a better job than Lytton would have done. And, I mean, it's not like Lytton is, he's not really an asset to BART in any way. But, you know, it's ironic because you see kind of this, like, there's a real, like, void of any kind of responsibility and accountability, and that's kind of like the same thing that we see with the cops, is how they run the whole place, is that nobody will step up and take responsibility for anything. Nobody will step up and act in like an honorable fashion. And so what they do is they step up, they make themselves, and then they hide and stick their head in the sand, or they just try to ignore things and hope that somebody else deals with it. And, you know, that's not a, I don't know, they it's going to take them a little to kind of realize that's not how things work once you're under this level of scrutiny and criticism.
Now, Sweet, what's your views on her? Do you think that she's just bullshitting? I heard that she's trying to get promotion of some sort. I'm not exactly sure how that works.
No, she wants to run for a supervisor in San Francisco.
But okay.
Even absent that, of the board of directors, I think she is probably the most engaged and, like, and actually kind of a decent person. So I don't see them as
equals.
They're not hugely evil. They're some of them just don't care, and then there's a few of them that care and try to do their jobs, but don't get it. And you can break it down. It's just generally the folks that are representing sort of those far BART districts, they really, really don't give a shit. And, you know, people like Lynette Sweet and Radulovich and Rayburn, they seem like they care and they want to do a good job, but even Bob Franklin, a little bit, well, he's kind of losing it now. But they they trip up all the time. So, like, Radula Vince will one moment and, well, okay, maybe we have to talk about whether we need to have a police department. I mean, he said that to me at a meeting. You know, we were at the police review committee's meeting, which isn't the police, the civilian review thing. They have their own committee that does police review stuff on the Barb Board of Directors, and went to that. And him and Sweet were just basically saying, you know, like, oh, you know, okay, well, we get the that we don't have any training to run a police department, and, you know, maybe if we can't improve, we have to have a conversation about, you know, whether we can do this differently or whether we need to have a, you know, whether we need to have a police department at all. And they agree to that, you know, they'll say that to you, but then the next moment, you know, when they're in front of the cameras, they'll be like, no way in hell, there's no way, you know, disbanding's not even an option. So, you know, it's a political thing. You know, as a person, they might be good, but because they're actually engaged, as opposed to the ones that are not engaged in doing crisis control, because they're engaged in crisis control, they become squirmy in terms of, like, you know, medical commitments, because of they're part of that firewall, and they're taking the flak because everybody else is, like, you know, hiding under the table.
Now, as we're speaking here, there was just a statement released from Anonymous about the op part. I just got word of. I don't know if you guys want me to read it, but it has some new demands in it. So,
why don't you just read the demands? The other stuff is arbitrary and can be read out at other times.
Okay, we want the BART PD disbanded completely. BART has no reason to have a police force at all. Hire flashlight security, if you please. We still want a public apology for shutting down of the cell service. We want you to reopen the investigation of the killing of Charles Hill, fire Linton Johnson, and BART Chief Kenton Rainey. And we'll keep going every Monday at 5 p.m. We are anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us. Does the forgive go before the forget? Confuses me every time.
We do not forgive. We do not forget.
You put it wrong in that one, then.
Oh, I'll change it. Whatevs. Come on, we do it for the lols.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the new statement from Anonymous, probably from Jackal. I'm not sure if he wrote it or not, but anyway, I wanted to point out a few of the things he did say at the top were unconstitutional, unethical methods of stopping protests, and those two words were the words that they used, or the unconstitutional word was the word they used when they were asking for ways to stop. Christoph, it was the protest where they turned off the cell phone service. That was one of your protests, right, if I remember correctly?
Oh, that was something that they thought we were going to have a protest. And so in fact, when they shut the cell phone service off, you can watch sort of Linton Johnson sort of the story change. Like, we thwarted the demonstration, but they might be demonstrating tomorrow, and passengers should keep their eyes open all week. And people are flying in from out of town to attack BART passengers. He literally. So it. You know, they were very proud of their what?
You haven't attacked anybody.
They did. They attacked. Right. They were threatening to attack us, though, like BART passengers were.
It's safety, you see. I mean, that's the whole thing. They're keeping the system safe, and so, you know, the flip side of that has to be that whatever, you know, we must be dangerous, I guess.
You know,
they are. You know, and we've articulated at every turn. And we've had an actual event, you know, that people have mobilized for and showed up to, and really, really clear, you know, we don't engage passengers. We're going to de-escalate any kind of confrontation. We're not going to keep people from getting on and off trains. We're not going to block station exits. We're you know, we've been really, really clear and really public about this for 3 years, so they, you know, they know what to expect. It didn't say that, you know, the protest isn't going to be disruptive, because every protest, at the moment you get a crowd of people together who's protesting, that's disruptive. And that's just the nature of a protest. But they
right. and they
you know, they've known this all along. So this was just you know, they were really scared because the Charles Hill thing had just popped up. They just killed Charles Hill. There'd been a demonstration exactly a month ago, and you know, we were planning. We were planning for new demonstrations, and they were saying we're, you know, they were really scared. That demonstration had actually had gotten a lot of attention, and a lot of people had come, and so they thought that they could head us off by prohibiting, you know, turning off our ability to communicate with one another using cell phones.
So, sorry guys to cut you off here. I actually only have 7 minutes left for my switchboard. So I have to go to final comments, and I really hate doing this, but Blog Talk Radio is cutting me off in about 7 minutes here, so I don't want to cut you guys off as always, but thank you, Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going to have to take final comments, but before I do that, I had a guy call in. He's anonymous, and he wants to announce some new software, so I guess I'll let him do that, and then I will get to the closing comments. And again, I apologize, Christoph, for cutting you off, but I mean...
No, no problem.
Blog Talk
we'll
Radio.
Talk later.
So to this anonymous source who wants to call in about software, you're unmuted.
First, I want to tell you guys thank you for everything that you guys have been doing and all the hard work you guys have been putting into this movement. It's really been moving me a lot in the very recent days, especially listening live to the Bart Police scanner, and it's disturbing to hear whenever they cut off kids from their parents when they close those gates. And quite frankly, enraged me enough to where... as an individual myself, I practice enough white hat security that I'm about to take it off and throw out some of the tools that I use for it to Anonymous. One specifically, and the one that I have been working on to make it multi-platform, is a Java-based DOS attack. Not DDoS, but strictly DOS attack. And it won't work on bandwidth. It works purely with CPU and RAM, something that I've proven to work in the past couple weeks. The plan is to finalize it with a front end, and once I get that completed, then I will be releasing it for use to Anonymous, and that will be proven to be much better than the Voic cannon, if you will. Just the fact that you can actually go through proxies and VPN. It's actually very similar to the Xerxes platform that the Jester uses, but it's not as refined as his yet, which is why I'm not releasing it in its current form. But this tool is going to enable a big step in being able to actually shut down any given website with very few computers. And I wanted to tell you guys that actually it was because of this movement that pushed me to this level.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
So, thank you very much.
Where's our host?
Oops, I was muted. I muted myself. I said thank you, Anonymous Source, and then to Jackal for final comments and shout-outs.
My final comments are if we all work together, we can actually change something. Anonymous has been known for small little groups. It's time for those little groups to come together for one cause. Call me biased, but I think Bart's the perfect one for that. My only shout out is going to be no justice, no Bart for what they're doing on the ground. If it wasn't for you, we probably wouldn't have the amount of people that we have on the ground. And you guys are all awesome. Thank you.
That's Jackal Anon from Twitter. Jackal Anon on Twitter, follow him. To Christoph from No Justice, No Bart. Final comments, shout outs, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, shout outs again to all of you. I you know, without the attention that's been brought to this, you know, to Bart, you know, it's sort of like a chess game. Like, this is, you've like brought the game to another level, and it's a lot. People everywhere right now are paying attention to this, and And like I said, it really matters. And this is like, you know, when we have small victories, like, I mean, BART is a small police department in a small corner of, like, you know, a big metropolitan area in a small corner of the world, blah, blah, blah. But it's a big deal to be able to accomplish something like this, to actually fight back against, you know, these kinds of civil rights and civil liberties violations and win. And I hope this really allows people in other parts of the United States and other parts of the world to, you know, take up these accountability issues and make the state accountable to the people.
Thanks, Christoph. I really appreciate you calling in to all the shows. To awesome_hubris on Twitter. Hubris, any final comments, shout-outs, et cetera, et cetera?
I just want to see this keep going. I don't want to see it lose steam. I'm really, really... It's just awesome that so many people are involved and that they've been committed to this, going there week after week for almost 6 weeks straight now. And even though Labor Day kind of faltered, you know what? There was still action on Thursday for that week. So we have people that are committed. We have people that are into this. And I think everybody's in it for the right reasons. I forgot who mentioned it earlier, but there are other community organizations getting involved. I think Onyx Organization was one of them. And then, of course, you have the Feminists Against Police Brutality now putting their hand into it, too. So
they had a huge sign.
It's good. They did. They had a really big sign. So I'm glad to see that there are other people coming together. And what was being said earlier, where Anonymous is small factions, I think that has been a bit of an issue in the past, trying to get everybody organized at the start of the protests at 5 p.m. because things kind of drop in and out for about half an hour until finally one or 12 people just say, let's do this. And I think if we can get a little more close-knit, we'll understand how to better proceed. And so I want to see that. I want to see that commitment. I want to see that excitement.
Okay.
Outside of that, the shout-outs, I'll give it to the people who are arrested.
Okay, to Dave ID, I only got a minute 10 here, so I apologize. To Dave ID from the Indie
Bay.
Okay.
I just wanted to say something to any corporate media. Well, thank you for the show, first of all. But to any corporate media outlets that might be listening, take note. BART is not just taking away free speech rights of protesters, but they're coming after you, too. They came after me as an independent journalist, which is wrong, but I sort of expect it. But they're coming after you, too, and handcuffing you. It's time for the media to stand up and say no. When the media lies down, then you can pretty much kiss whatever's left of our democracy goodbye.
That was Dave ID from the Indie Bay, and I've seen Vincent the Bay listed on Indie Bay, so I guess I could probably put this on there too, eh?
Yes. Please do post this. It's open publishing. Anyone who wants to put up any reports, communiques, audio, video, photos, have at it.
Okay. Shout out to everybody on Twitter, Crappy Airbags, Kara, Bandcamp, Anonymous Chief, Obart, and all of Jackal's like 150,000 accounts, Vince in the Bay, Motormouth News, and everybody in the chat room right now. Guests, Jackal and On Jay, Lulzone, Motormouth, Nexus Flame, Redbug, Vince in the Bay, Anon Sicko, and Anx Medics, Bartolo Vanzetti. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a podcast after the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.